Hello, I'm Andrea Tavchar, a college public relations professor based in Toronto. My goal for my podcast is to interview PR practitioners with interesting stories to tell, and I wanted to share those with my students. I've decided to call it PR Delivered.
A lot of the trust that has been built in the Interact brand is because of our really solid marketing team. This is a brand that Canadians have been seeing for over 30 years, and our marketing team does an excellent job in translating that into consumer-based advertising and marketing. So that contributes a lot to this idea of trust. Canadians see it, they can see their own self in our marketing and brand materials, so it feels relevant to them, it feels like something that they can place into their everyday.
Months ago, Léger Marketing released its list of top 10 most reputable companies in 2021. While Canadian Tire came out on top after Léger surveyed more than 32,000 Canadians on their perspectives on more than 275 companies, it was the company in eighth spot that caught my attention. Interac is a financial organization, and their Director of Corporate Communications is a Humber PR Certificate alumni and a former student of mine. Lauren Mostowick posted her organization's success on LinkedIn, and that's how our conversation started. I congratulated Lauren on Interact's fine showing on Léger's survey and invited her to be a guest on PR Delivered. Naturally, I wanted to better understand what Interact does to ensure it remains one of our country's most reputable brands. Lauren started at Interact just a couple of years ago after a decade of increasingly senior communication roles in financial service and consulting. Welcome, Lauren.
Thanks, Andrea. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm happy to connect and to have a chat with you about this, not just this significant accomplishment, but also about your PR journey. So let's learn a little bit about you. You're a Humber PR Cert grad. Why don't you tell us a bit about your journey since graduating?
Sure thing. It was, it kind of made my heart stop a little when you said a decade of increasingly senior communications roles. It feels like it hasn't been that long since I left Humber and since I left our really wonderful cohort and all of the professors. It's so nice to see you again. So let's talk about that. I applied for and then got the paid internship at Toronto Hydro back in the day when internships were in a binder in plastic and you would flip through them and then see which one you wanted and hope that you would get an interview. I zeroed in directly on the one that was paid and the one that was paid the best because that was necessary to pay the rent in Toronto. And I was lucky to get it. And that internship really shaped my career in what is now like a pretty great linear fashion. So I got to Toronto Hydro. I really liked the corporate element of working in communications. So I loved working with people who had been working at Toronto Hydro for years and years. They were passionate about the work that they did. I really liked getting up every day and knowing I was trying to do something for one particular company versus potentially, you know, many different clients. So I was at Toronto Hydro for about 4 months. It was a longer internship, which was lucky for me. And during that time, I really liked the electricity conservation element. Can't tell you why, it just really spoke to me. And I had found this company called Bullfrog Power. And I thought on a whim as I was getting to the end of my internship, you know what, I'm just going to see if I can do an info interview with Bullfrog Power. They're a growing company. They look to have, you know, kind of that new, fresh appeal of green energy and power. So I found an article about wind power, and it was probably the most basic article, but I sent it to the VP of marketing there, and I said, hey, I'm really interested in this. I thought you might like this too, and hey, if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to chat with you. Here's my resume, was kind of the final call to action. she said, fine, you can come and talk to me for an info interview. And little did I know, it was an actual interview. So at the end of it, she called me and said, you know, we'd really like to hire you for a media relations specialist role. And that was wonderful. And it was a good lesson because it's also, you know, go into everything prepared like it might be a job. You never know what's going to happen. So that job was, you know, that was my foot in the door. It was not a lot of money for a lot of work on the media relations side. And I did that for about 2 years. And that was right when the 2008-2009 recession hit. All of a sudden, the environment was not something anyone wanted to talk about. It was all about the economy, whether people were going to survive, how they were going to pay for their groceries. And I started thinking, ooh, my job might not be so secure anymore. And it was at that point where a Humber grad, to be honest, and we can talk about this because I have such great friends from my Humber times, but Humber grad reached out to me and said, I am working at Scotiabank, but I just got a new job elsewhere and I feel really compelled to find a great person for the role. Are you interested? And I thought to myself, well, there's nowhere better to be in during a recession than, you know, one of Canada's strongest banks. So I said, I'll take an interview, and kind of fell in love with the team, the comms team at the bank. It was a totally different move from a small startup, but it is what gave me a ton of stability. And I ended up staying there for 5 years. I honed a lot of my skills at Scotiabank. I have a lot of friends still from Scotiabank. And then toward the end of that 5 years, where I had done both PR and CSR, corporate social responsibility jobs, another Humber grad came calling, and she had actually interviewed for a job at MasterCard. They said, yes, we want you. And she went back to her own company and said, look, I'm going to take this MasterCard job. And they said, like hell you are, and pretty much gave her whatever she wanted. So she,
awesome.
Yeah, well, lucky for her. Well, and I guess lucky for me as well, because she came to me and said, look, I've gone all the way down the road with MasterCard. Like they have done all the interviews, and now I'm going to tell them that I won't take this job. Is there any chance you are interested in leaving the bank? And I thought, it's been 5 years. I had been starting to look. Took an interview with the person who ended up being my boss at MasterCard for almost five. And went where the wind took me. And had a really wonderful time at MasterCard. I learned so much. We were a small shop compared to the size of the brand, and spent the time there only to kind of butt up against that ceiling of nowhere for me to grow. Loved the company, loved the brand, really loved what we were trying to accomplish. But when you are a country shop of an overall giant global organization, there's not always a lot of roles within your one country unless you want to move all over the place. I didn't want to do that yet. So I started looking around again, and KPMG came calling. So I took a 2-year job at KPMG as a global consulting PR lead. And that was wonderful because I traveled so much. I'd never been in business class transatlantic flights before, and I got a chance to experience that. Just like, not the reason you take a job, but it was pretty good. I was in Singapore for almost 2 weeks doing some work with some of our partners there. I was in London a couple times. I was in New York quite a bit, and it was lovely. However, it wasn't really the challenge I was looking for at that point. So I'd hit that director level, and director level, it varies across organizations. You can I could spend another 10 years in a director's role in different places, picking up new skills, learning new things, which is, I think, an important thing to remember at each stage of your career. It's not really like a 2 years here and then I should jump up a level. Sometimes it's 2 years, the job gets stagnant, but the level has unlimited possibilities. So I knew that was the case for a director role, but KPMG was just not the place where I felt I could do it. Made tons of great friends, but it was time to move on. And I had a meeting with the woman who's now my boss at Interact. And we had coffee at Deneen in the CIBC lobby. And we were like, it was like we were professional soulmates. We were finishing each other's sentences by the end of the coffee chat. And I left that meeting and I thought, oh my God, that is where I want to work. This is the kind of thing that we could do together, she and I. And I called my mom and I said, I don't know if my heart is beating so fast because of the coffee I drank or the conversation, or maybe it's both, but Daria is the name of the woman who's my boss now. She called me a little while later and she said, I don't want to hire anyone else. If my boss likes you, if the team who will be reporting to you likes you, like, you're it. And it was the quickest, you know, sort of mid-August to mid-September, the entire process happened. And in September 2019, I joined Interact and I've been there ever since.
That's fantastic. What I'm really picking up on from what you've just shared is that you have contacts in the industry from your Humber days. And these are people who trusted that you would do a good job, because I still remember that you were a good student. And I remember that you did a good job at Humber. And, you know, people, their reputation follows them, right? And so it's amazing that you're sharing this story, that you had classmates that still remember that, you know, you were a strong student and a good employee, and that counts for a lot.
It does. And I feel the same way about so many of them. I don't know whether it was the alchemy of that specific cohort, or maybe it's like that with every cohort at Humber. But I made so many good friends that there are still, I want to say, like 8 to 10 Humber people that I'm still in pretty semi-regular contact with. In the before times, before COVID, there's a group of us that would get together kind of every 3 months at each other's house. You know, we would flip each other's houses and that person would be responsible for ordering dinner, and then we'd all bring a bottle of wine and we'd sit there and we'd talk about jobs, for sure. I mean, that was how our relationships were formed, but we've been through everything together at this point, babies and divorces and leaving the PR industry for another one. But even through all of that, we are still very much aware of each other's professional strengths. So I will send jobs to people, or I will send potential candidates knowing that they would do well to work under one of these great Humber friends. And that has been such a help in my career. Two jobs from PR Humber grad friends are definitely part of my story. And I feel really, really lucky to have been in the program at that time. And one of the things I was thinking about before we started chatting is, you know, how important it was to have the Humber experience be almost as much about making my network and my friendships as it was about the learning. And a lot of people, I've grown up in Toronto, so I had tons of friends in the city. I hadn't gone into the Humber program thinking I needed friends, but I ended up with a ton of them. But a bunch of people had moved to Toronto for the program to start a career, and you come in and you've got nothing. And Humber, that program, is your chance to build a network of professional contacts and also friends that will be with you, you know, like-minded professional people who are going to potentially be with you for the rest of your career. It's pretty awesome.
That's so good to hear, and it's something we try and share with, you know, people who are entering the program, whether it's the bachelor PR that I teach in, or the certificate or diploma program, that this is your first group of PR networks. You know, like, these are the people who in a couple short years, 3-4 years, are going to be out there in great jobs, and you'll want to know them, and you'll want to have done a good job fostering those relationships. That's why, like I like to say, group work is important. Like, make your mark, that you're a contributor, that you follow the rules and are, you know, a good worker. And these are important things, because it could mean a job lead 3-4 years down the road.
Absolutely. Yes, 100%.
So that's so important. Let's get into Interact a bit. So as the Director of Corporate Communications for Interact, can you share a little bit about what you do in a day?
Yes, absolutely. Today is a great example of what I do in a day, because honestly has been all over the map, back to back, different topics, different discussions. So let's see, let's take it from the top. This morning, starting at 9 a.m., this is not actually related to Interact, but I'm gonna do a shameless plug for my charity anyway. I'm on the board of a charity called Trails Youth Initiatives. It's a outdoor education-based charity for at-risk youth in Toronto. one of the most important things I do in my life. So started the day with a 9 a.m. meeting with the events committee because we have an event launching tomorrow, a virtual fundraising event. Did that from 9 to 10. Then 10 o'clock, I jumped into a meeting about a narrative for a PR program around our data and how our Interact data is helping to show and shape the recovery related to COVID. I mean, Interact is the only payment network that reaches coast to coast, is in 29 million Canadians' wallets. So we have an ability to see very anonymized transaction data that shows where are people shopping? What time are they shopping? Are they using e-transfer more than they're using debit at the point of sale? So we use that data to actually shape PR narratives that we can then pitch out to media, give exposure to our expertise in the data field, as well as talk about our products and solutions. So there's a very traditional external media relations type role, and that's part of my job. Then I went into a discussion about a potential sponsorship that's coming up where we might partner with one of a big grocery chain to do something very cool for the summer that really brings our Interact brand to life. So that was another half hour. Then I went into a meeting to do some user acceptance testing on our brand new internal intranet. So I manage both the internal side of the house and the external side of the house. On the internal side, we have completely rejigged the intranet, which is a no small feat. And one of the team members on my internal team, just an absolute superstar, has us doing the testing so that we can make sure that when we roll it out, it works for all employees, regardless of what platform they're on. These are the kinds of things that I'm dealing with on a day-to-day basis. So might be chatting with the HR team about how to communicate a change management plan, then might run into a meeting about a CEO interview, then might go to a strategy deck that I need to build to launch a new product. Obviously, none of those things happen meeting to meeting, but I would say there's, 35 or so projects on the go at any given time. And I touch, each of them because I'm really close to my team members who are working on them. I've got 6 people on my team, and then there's 10 on the Interact corporate communications and sponsorship team total. So we're a good sized shop for a relatively small company in the sense that I think there's about 450 Interact employees. So it's a good sized communication shop, but it really shows you how important the brand building aspect of Interact is, because we're not something you can see and touch. We are a debit product that's in your own money. That's how we differentiate from credit. But if you can't see it and you can't touch it, why choose it? So we have to build that brand that says, I want to be in control of my own money. I want to use debit instead of credit. Here's the Interact logo. I recognize safety. I recognize security. I trust it. I pull it out. I use it. Whether that's on your phone, on a card in your wallet, on a browser or in app.
When I'm listening to you, I'm hearing all the different sort of tasks, like you're writing strategic communication plans, you're talking about narratives for stories. And, we were just, I was teaching a strategic communication planning class, and one of the most challenging aspects for the students was to find the story, to find the narrative that makes that story newsworthy and interesting. So, I'm glad to hear you say that that is what you do. That is what you need to do.
That's still the way forward. I would say that I keep the team and myself really laser focused on what the business priorities of our company are, or whatever company you're working for. You can't just tell a story because you as the PR person know that that's going to be a great story. If you get a ton of coverage, but it doesn't tell the end user why the product works, why it's safe or secure, why it's better than the competitors out there. If you haven't done that, then you haven't actually filled your KPIs for the end of the year anyway. You're not going to get your bonus the way you should, because you are there, and it's so important in a support role, PR as a support role, that you go there and you say, no, I don't just write the press releases. I don't just put the shiny words on things. I take your business priorities and I translate them into something that's relevant and important for the marketplace. And so that's what, that's what we're laser focused on all the time.
That's good to hear and good information for students to hear. When Leger announced their list of 10 most reputable brands in Canada and you saw that Interac was eighth, you posted on LinkedIn saying, "Sometimes working in PR and communications feels like shouting into a void. Is my message resonating? Anyone?" Then results like this happen. Can you tell us what you meant by that?
Sure. What I was thinking about is, you know, we all know that the media landscape is so noisy. There's so much going on. It's really hard to have your message cut through. And yet you try and you keep working at it and you get successes and then you think they're successes. But it's kind of like when you buy a new car and then you see that make and model of the car everywhere around you because you're looking for it. So I can't tell sometimes whether I'm seeing Interac coverage or I'm seeing Interac digital content being shared and it's actually breaking through, or if I'm just seeing it because I'm looking for it. So when an award like Leger's comes out, it says to me, okay, the sum of all those things that I'm seeing that I may not be sure about that anyone else has seen, it's working. Someone is seeing that, and when they get to that portion of the interview on the Leger study, they say, "Interact, yes, for whatever reason, I think they're safe. I think they're secure. I know that they're ubiquitous. They're here for me." And they might not know why, but at least I know in the background that the work that I've done is cutting through.
Well, this award for reputable companies, it's all founded on trust. Clearly, these are companies and organizations that have fostered that trust. As you said, you're not speaking into a void. You're actually making that very concrete connection with people that Interac is trusted. What do you attribute your success to?
I was just thinking about this and thinking, oh gosh, if any of my colleagues here, they're going to think that I'm wearing this on my own shoulders, and I truly, truly am not. A lot of the trust that has been built in the Interac brand is because of our really solid marketing team. This is a brand that Canadians have been seeing for over 30 years, and our marketing team does an excellent job in translating that into consumer-based advertising and marketing. So that contributes a lot to this idea of trust. Canadians see it. They can see their own self in our marketing and brand materials. So it feels relevant to them. It feels like something that they can place into their everyday. And trust is so important because we're the money. You know, we are your money. We are saying, use the money from your own wallet, from your own bank account, and we'll send it. We'll make sure it gets to the place it's supposed to go. We'll make sure that the item you want to buy is now yours. So that involves a great deal of trust, which means talking about our safety and security elements a lot, reminding Canadians. You really have to tell someone multiple, multiple times the same message before they hear it. So that means ensuring that our safety and security content is blanketing the digital atmosphere. It means having our executives only speak at the places where they are going to generate the most amount of profile for the topics that we want to speak about. So we're really careful about how we position the brand. And, you know, as the corporate storytellers, that story has to be resonating through our external campaigns. It's also got to be the thing that our employees hear in our town halls and then say to their own customers. It's got to be in the user experience, and it has to be in the way you feel about the brand. So all those things together, that's every part of our organization. The communications shop is there to take all the hard work of everyone else and then put it out into the world in a narrative that makes sense.
Thank you. That makes sense. And it's, you know, I can see the picture. You've referenced Humber quite a bit and attributed your Humber connections to your own personal successes. Let's go back to your Humber days. And my question for you is, what do you wish someone whispered in your ear back then?
Oh, man. So many things. Number one, focus on the writing. And that was something that I knew from the get-go, but I think if I could highlight something to anyone who's listening, the writing matters. It matters almost more than it did those years ago, because what we do every day now with our colleagues and with our contacts and our partners when we're working is we write to them. We write to them in text messages. We write to them in emails. We write to them in chats. You have to convey today everything you are trying to influence or impart on someone in a written message. So the press release is important, and I want to get to that in a sec, but your ability to write an email that communicates your objective and what you need the receiver to do and to feel is critical. As a support function, influence is your strongest tool. You need your business partners to give you data. You need the legal team to review your contract. You need the product team to say yes to doing an interview about e-transfer. You can only get all those things because those people are very, very busy doing their own jobs with influence and persuasion. And you mostly have to do that in the written form. So focusing on that is your friend. And the press release piece of it is really big. We laugh now because the press release is a piece of, you know, it's words on a page, but they're still really important words on the page because they force you to figure out the story in the most concise way possible. And you will use those words on a page in whatever work you do on the campaign after that. So if you're pitching a journalist, you might be getting into their Twitter DMs, but you have the narrative in a really concise way that you can draw from when you type out that tweet to them. You may just post it on your newsroom, but you can share it as part of the proof points in your email to a journalist. So the press release is still a foundational piece of writing that you need to be good at. And I would say that's probably the main thing that I took away and the main thing that really supported the early stages of my career. Another thing, what were we talking about? We were talking about networks. And I guess the other thing we've talked about this is use your network, build your network, keep your network. Not just at Humber, but definitely starting at Humber. I was interviewed by a magazine a couple years ago, a Toronto-based kind of PR magazine. And they said, What's the thing that people should do to be successful in their career? And it sounds so trite, but be nice. When you are nice to people and you are empathetic and you listen to people, these are people who you may work with today, but you may work for 2 years from now, or they may be in the seat of the partnership that you're trying to build with your company. So going into every conversation as an open, honest, nice person is probably the best advice anyone can take. And you can start building that in school and then beyond.
What's interesting, and the reason I'm smiling, is you're not the first PR delivered guest to say, be nice. You know, this is it's almost like we shouldn't have to say it, but we go back to group work. We go back to, you know, being, you know, networking with your classmates, being reliable, being nice. And it starts foundationally with that. And that's a really good point.
I think it can be so hard sometimes because we all get so wrapped up in our own busy, stressful lives. And it's easy to go into a work conversation and think, oh my God, why me again? Like, why do I have to take on this new project? Why does this person think I have to deliver this versus something else? Why do I have to do this? And it's so easy to just, you know, go into that mode and say, I'm kind of shutting down. I don't want to listen to this. I'm too stressed. I can't take it on. And there's time for that. You can be that in later on after the meeting. In the meeting, you are listening, you are empathetic, and then you figure out the solution. I feel like that's such an important thing about working in general.
I think that's a good point and a good life skill to remember, right? That we are, like, to be empathetic, because we're all struggling in our own ways. And often we don't know what other people's burdens are, right? So I think that's a really good point. Could you share with our listeners your thoughts on PR and communication skills that are especially valued in industry now? You mentioned writing, of course, in networking, but anything else, any other advice on how to, identify those skills and develop those skills?
I think volunteering is is a great way to do that. One of my staff members who has been at Interact for a number of years, she's an absolute star. I keep saying that, but those are actually different people, and every single person on my team is really excellent. But Rebecca came to me and said, I know that I'm good at what I do inside Interact, but I don't know if it translates anywhere else. Are you interested in bringing me into the Trails, the charity that I work with, and I could maybe test some of those skills in a different format? And I said, my God, of course, we'll take volunteers from anywhere we can find them. And I knew that her skills translate anywhere she wants them to. But having a volunteer experience where you are, you know, you're outside of your norm, the people don't know you or your high points or low points, and you get to show them all over again. That is a really great confidence builder, and it's a great way to learn additional skills while proving the ones you've got. So I would say, if you can volunteer, find a thing that you feel passionate about alongside your work, you'll never regret it. You get busy, but it also helps you with time management. So volunteering is definitely a skill that any professional, but definitely a communications professional, should consider. So influence is a really important thing that you can continue to hone throughout your career. And as you get more senior, it becomes more important. I think we've covered quite a few of them.
I think so. I really appreciate all of your insights from over a decade, as we said, of experience. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
Work hard, have fun. Don't forget about the group work. Relish the all-nighters, because even though they feel impossible at the time, they're the things you remember the most. I still remember pulling an all-nighter and knowing that there was something that the guest speaker was coming in and he had no time for sloppy dressing. I think we all had to be in business clothing. I'd pulled an all-nighter. Everyone else had forgotten to wear business clothing. Somehow threw something on my body, went to the class, and that memory sticks out so hard for me. So listen to class, do the group work, stay up late when you need to, because it all pays off in the end. And you'll have that experience for the rest of your life.
Thank you, Lauren. Thanks for all of your insights. So thank you to Lauren Mostowick, Director of Corporate Communications at Interact, for speaking to us on PR Delivered. PR Delivered is available on Spotify and Google and Apple Podcasts. You can reach me, Andrea Tavchar, on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you to Ryan Garbett for music and production.